As Pastor Jimmy says, it's a well. I might have left him. Oh, here it is. I like my book. It's a King. It's a King James Bible, by the way. The devil's got all kind of versions out there for deception. He'll deceive you. Ain't it good that God blessed us with his word? Yeah. It's alive. It'll breathe on you. Yeah. It'll soothe your soul.
Yeah.
That's what this old song's about. It's called the Word of God. This book unfolds Jehovah's mind. This voice salutes in accent kind. This friend will all our needs supply. This fountain stream will never run dry. Oh, this mind affords us boundless wealth. This good physician gives us health. Oh, the sun renews and warms the soul. This sword both wounds and makes us whole. Oh, this letter shows. This letter shows our sins forgiven. This guide conducts a soul to heaven. This promise has been sealed with blood. Oh, the book of books, the word of God. It's the book of books, the word of God. And he's soon coming. Bless his name to get us out of this awful place.
I'm all in here. I'm in a wilderness.
Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. I think I've got this thing on. Do I need to do anything with it?
You're good.
He says I'm good.
Amen.
Take your copy of God's word.
Hey.
If you've got a copy that's your own, you've got something a good part of the world doesn't have.
That's right, brother.
And you shouldn't take it for granted.
Right.
Turn to the fourth book of this book. Book of Numbers, 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers. I tell you, I appreciate being here tonight.
Oh, yes.
Appreciate Brother Kevin.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad God did cross our paths,
hey,
brother.
Me too, brother.
Y'all need to realize this
man.
Yeah, go ahead and stand for the word of God.
Yes.
I'm going to be a little lengthy.
That's all right.
Lord.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. But also, don't take this pastor for granted.
Right.
Don't take this youth group for granted.
Right.
It just got up here. And young people, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yes,
you bless my heart tonight.
Yeah.
And I thank God for you. Amen.
Yeah.
Numbers 32. Again, I'll be a little lengthy in reading. But he says in the beginning of verse 1, if I read it correctly, the inerrant, infallible word of God says this. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elealeh and Shebam and Nebo and beyond, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. I want you to pay special attention to that. They said, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the hearts of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men which came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generations that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, you are risen up with your father's stead, you're risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. And verse 16 says, and they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready, armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into the place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with him on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to stop reading right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I sure thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. God, thank you for their sweet, sweet spirit. Lord, it's been in this place tonight, God. Father, I pray, Lord, for the next little bit, Lord, would you help me to be a preacher? Help me, Lord, to preach what you'd have me to say here tonight, God. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, God. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd take your holy word. Father, I pray, Lord, would you pierce hearts with it, God. Lord, would you stir the hearts of your children? Encourage the saints of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, help us, God, Lord, to be what we should be for the glory of God. In Jesus' sweet name I pray, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. I preached this a couple of weeks ago at our church. I told Vic on the way over here, I said, you've heard this, brother. But I'm going to give this message a title. I'm going to entitle it, Living on the Wrong Side of Jordan. And let me give you some background. First of all, let me say this. We sing songs that sing about the Jordan River being a type of death, and that's all right. We sing songs, Brother Christian, about Canaan being a type of heaven, and that's all right. Don't stop singing those songs. I'm not telling you to do that. But I submit to you, if you look at the Word of God, you'll see that when they got to Canaan, it wasn't the end of all their problems. There were still battles to be fought. You can read the book of Joshua and see that they still had battles to fight when they got across the Jordan River. And so I submit to you tonight that I believe the picture of Canaan that we should see, and what I want to present tonight is a picture of victory. Is Christian living. Amen. I believe there's battles that we're still fighting, and we will be fighting them until we get over yonder. But thank God there's victory promised to a child of God. But here, the children of Israel, God had made a promise all the way back over in the book of Genesis to Abraham. God had made a covenant relationship with Abraham, and God had allowed the situation to happen. When you get to the end of the book of Genesis, you find that they're down in Egypt, and you see they put Joseph, he dies in his body is put in a coffin, but Joseph said, don't bury me over here. Amen. Joseph had so much faith that God was going to meet the covenant he'd made with Abraham. Joseph said, don't leave my body over here in Egypt. God's going to bring you up one day, and you take me with you whenever you go, and bury me over yonder. We know the story. God brought him out of Egypt. Don't have time tonight to get on that Passover, but I've enjoyed seeing the blood on the doorpost and the lintel ever since we got here tonight. Amen. But hey, the night of the Passover, God made a way to bring them out. How? Through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But God brought them through on dry land. We saw, hey, that was sung about here a little bit ago. Hey, he can dry up the sea. But hey, praise God, he brought them to the wilderness. And I'm just doing a little bit of review here. But once they got out, I mean, God had, in his mercy and God in his graciousness, brought them through the Red Sea. And by the way, I believe dust stirred up. Amen. You can believe whatever you want to, how that looked, how that was. I mean, I know there's a great multitude of people, but a few years ago, my wife and I were down at the aquarium in Chattanooga, and we were going down the aisleway, and on each side they had the glass and the big aquariums, and you could look and see the fish. And I kind of wonder if young kids, when they cut, and some of the fishermen, hey, that was coming through the Red Sea, and look over there, and the Red Sea walled up on each side of them, and maybe somebody said, oh, I mean, Vic would have said, oh, look at that crappie over there. Amen. Somebody else might say, look at that large mouth. Oh, praise God. But God brought them out. But after God brought them out, they come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And when they came to the place called Kadesh Barnea, they took 12 spies. And they said, go spy out the land. And those 12 spies, after they spent 40 days in the land, they came back. And 10 of them came back and says, hey, where's grasshoppers and their giants? We can't do it. But there was two that came back, Joshua and Caleb, and they were basically saying, our God is able. There might be giants over there, but if God's promised it to us, hey, we can defeat the giants that's over there. Amen. Don't you get a picture of that? Them 10 spies are saying, but Moses, there's giants over there. And Caleb says, yeah, but there's God. And they said, where is grasshoppers? And Joshua said, but there's God. Amen. But because of their unbelief, they wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. Understand, God had promised them the other side of the Jordan.
Yes, sir.
Understand, when you come through the book of Numbers, they're coming down now to the end of the wilderness journey. They're coming down to the time that it's about ready. I mean, you go through the book of Deuteronomy, and he's rehashing all the things and the things God gave him on Sinai and telling them, when you get over there, this is what you're to do. When you get over there, I mean, there's a surety that they were going. Now, Moses, unfortunately, didn't get to go. Boy, I'm trying not to chase too many rabbits here, Brother Kevin. But I want you to understand, because it goes into the story that I'm preaching tonight. Moses, God had told him that he was not going to get to go. Don't you reckon Moses wanted to go? But I believe God gave Moses something better than Canaan. Hey. By the way, you can believe whatever you want to how Moses died. The Bible don't tell us. But when he was on top of Sinai, Brother Christian, God said, no man can see me and live. And I wonder, he took Moses up on the mountain and showed him over into Canaan, let him look across the Jordan. And I wonder if God didn't say, hey, Moses, look here. I don't know how Moses died, but I'm wondering if he didn't get to see the Lord. Amen. I know once he crossed over, he got to. But here, they're getting ready to cross over. Hey, the promise is about to be fulfilled. And here comes the tribe of Reuben.
Oh, brother.
And the tribe of Gad. And half a tribe of Manasseh. And they said, we've got cattle. And this land's good for cattle. Where'd they get the cattle? Go back in chapter 31. And you'll see that they had a great victory that they won over the Midianites. And there was a great horde of livestock that was part of the spoils of that war. And so it was the blessings of God from a previous victory. But now they're letting a previous blessing, a previous victory, hold them back from getting where they are to be for the glory of God. If we're not careful, we'll let the blessings of Almighty God keep us from going on for the glory of God. God blessed me with this good job, but now, preacher, I can't come to church on Sunday. God blessed me to get a new house, but now I got to get on all the overtime. Like what I'm saying, sometimes we can let the blessings of God hinder us from going on for the glory of God. They said, we want to be satisfied on this side. The problem was God had promised the other side. God had promised them the other side. It looked good for cattle. They said, we've got cattle. I mean, their request, it looked reasonable to the natural mind. It looked reasonable. But notice verse 1 once again. When you see in verse 1, it says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And it says, when they saw the land of Jazer, when they saw it, what led them this way? It's what they saw with their eyes.
Right.
You know how the devil works? He hadn't changed all the way from the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
All the way through the temptation of Christ, all the way to me and you today. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And they saw something that got their attention. They saw something. Genesis 13, man by the name of Lot looked down and saw the well-watered plains. He beheld it and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the next thing you know, Lot is in trouble. Lot had to be rescued. You can read how in the book of Joshua chapter 7, God, after they got across the Jordan, they had a great victory over a place called Jericho. God fought a battle for them. And there's a next place they came was a little place called Ai. And they said, oh, this won't be no problem at all. And what happened? Hey, they came back with a tail between the legs, if I can put it that way. Amen. They got soundly defeated by little Ai. But whenever they got back, there was still a problem. Somebody had brought something back that they wasn't supposed to. And when the investigation was made, there was a man by the name of Achan that he had some of the spoils of Ai that he had brought back with him, and had them hid under his tent. And you know what Achan said about it? Achan said, I saw, I coveted, I took. The devil will put pretty things in front of us to try to rob us of victory. And that tribe of Reuben and that tribe of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, they looked and they saw that it's good for cattle, and we got cattle. But can I tell you again? This wasn't where God intended for them to be. God had a plan that all of Israel was to make it to the other side. I mean, it may have been well intentioned, but it came up short of God's plan for them. I mean, understand that they were a people that were chosen. Understand they were a people that were called. Understand they were a people that were led. But yet they were satisfied with not going all the way.
That's right.
The devil will try to get me and you to not go all the way for God.
Yes.
We're done a little bit. It'll be all right.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, preacher.
We're doing a little bit. It'll be all right. By the way, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you out. Some might say this is a little hard, but I don't mind hard preaching. I don't like harsh preaching.
Go ahead.
I'll say that again. I don't mind hard preaching. I don't like mean preaching. Hey, some preachers are just mean when they preach.
Right.
I don't want to be mean. I want to try to help us, amen. Hey, God's got something for us, amen. Hey, God's got something for us. Hey, let's don't be satisfied with less than the best that God's got for us.
Hey.
God had given people, again, a covenant promise of a land. A place that's promised, but a place of battles. A place of battles, but a place of victory. And they chose cattle over Canaan.
Uh-oh.
They chose the wilderness over the will of God. Oh, and it affected others. When they came to Moses with it, like it seemed like a reasonable request. But it, can I tell you, it disappointed the preacher.
Yep.
Preacher, I don't know... You ever been disappointed when somebody comes to you?
Go ahead, brother.
I heard a preacher say this a couple of years ago. He said, every time we go on vacation, I'll get a phone call and somebody on the other end will say, preacher, we're leaving the church. Just wanted you to know while you're on vacation. He said, why couldn't they wait till they got back from vacation?
Go ahead, brother.
But, I mean, sometimes somebody will come to you. I mean, I've had them come to me and say, preacher, our children want something more modern than what y'all got here.
Yeah.
Oh, friend. Sometimes it disappoints the preacher. Moses, when he got news of it, amen, what did Moses say?
Yes,
Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? Are we going to go to war and you're going to stay behind?
Go ahead.
And then what's the next thing he says in that next verse, verse 7? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel? from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Not only did what they wanted to do disappointed the preacher, it discouraged the people.
That's right. Yes, brother.
And the devil, he's real good at getting our eyes on disappointments.
That's right.
But get your eyes on the Lamb of God. Amen.
Praise God.
Oh, glory to God. If God let me, I'd stop right there and re-preach what I preached this morning.
Go ahead.
I don't believe it's the Lord's will, but this morning I preach on making much of Jesus.
Hey.
Amen. Hey, instead of looking at others and looking at disappointments, sometimes if we have an empty pew around us, we look at it instead of looking at God. And so, but here Moses, as they begin to talk to him about it, and it affected others, and they said, bring back in verse 5, and bring us not over Jordan. I want you to understand something. They were almost where they should be.
That's right.
Did you hear me? They were almost. Now, I'm going to apply this here in a minute to us. But you know, there's a lot of people are almost saved and don't get in. I believe Judas kissed the door to heaven and died lost and went to hell. I believe there's a lot of people come that close to being saved. I believe they some says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But here I'm talking about me and you tonight, those of us that are saved. Hey, he said, bring us not over Jordan. And I want to spend a little bit of time now about talking about this as a type of a Christian stopping short of what God's got in store for us.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm the Lord.
Now, I don't know about over here, but over where we're from, we've got a lot of borderland Baptists. They want to hang around the border. They might step in for a little bit and then step. I'm talking about complete victory, talking about where God wants us to be. I mean, they get to a certain point and say, well, I'm doing good enough here. Why should I go on? I mean, I go to church once a week. Why should I go 3 times a week? Hey, I go once a month. Lord, I'm. Had a woman one time got mad at me because she was in the hospital and I didn't visit her. And she came to me and she said, why didn't you come and see me? I said, I didn't know you were in the hospital. I would have. She said, you ought to have known I was there because I didn't make it to church Sunday. I said, well, I didn't know. Is that 1/5 Sunday you're always there?
Hallelujah!
I would have went and saw her. But what I'm saying, a lot of folks, I mean, they're halfway in and halfway out. I mean, we get comfortable where we are, yet we fall short of what God's plan for us is. We fall short. I mean, when I was sitting there and the Lord was blessing me and these young people were singing, and I said, Lord, I don't need to preach this here. Lord, these folks here are getting in on it, amen. I mean, but can I tell you, again, I don't know how it is over this way, but I know over our way, it seems like we've got more people that's out than they are in. I'm talking about as far as being in victorious Christian living. And not only that, but a lot of folks that are in a little bit, they're only in a little bit. So they may be more out than they are in.
Yeah.
You remember how over in the book of Acts, y'all know this story? Paul preached long one night, went past midnight. There's a man there by the name of Eutychus. And Paul got to preaching long and Eutychus fell asleep and he didn't fall in, he fell out. You know, y'all know why he fell out. There was more of him out than what was in. His center of gravity was on the wrong side. Do you know the devil builds fences? And I don't mean walls. I mean, that's a whole different message for a different time. But those who like to ride the fence, the devil will build a fence on his side of the line. So when you're riding the fence, you're already on his side. But God's got something for us. God wants us to have complete victory in the precious Lamb of God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. One old preacher summed it up this way. He said, the highway of his will is straighter and safer than the byway of my will.
Yeah. Hey, that's good preaching. Good.
God wants us to have victory. Oh, I know there's battles. There's battles that we go through down here. There's battles within our family. There's battles within our finances. There's battles within our health. I mean, we have battles to fight. There's battles we even fight in our churches sometimes, because when God's blessing, the devil doesn't like it. Even in a good church. I've got to be careful with this. But even in a good church. I mentioned in our church this morning, but 3 John, there's 3 men mentioned in 3 John. First, there's Gaius, who it was written to. Good Christian man. And then at the end of that little book, he mentions Demetrius. Christian being what he ought to be. But in the middle of it, he mentioned another man that, as I can read it, probably was a Christian man. But his name was Diotrephes.
Right.
And John says he wanted to have the preeminence.
Right.
Can I tell you, Jesus gets the preeminence.
Right.
Jesus. But oh, friend of mine, God's got something wonderful in store for us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God's got something glorious in store for us. God wants to give us victory. Why would I want to settle with being on the wrong side of Jordan? Why would I want to settle? I'd rather have Christ than to have the cattle. And I'm not opposed to cattle. You raise them, I'll eat them. I'm not opposed to cattle. But I'd rather have Christ than to have the well-watered plains. I'd rather have Christ than to have the blessings that they thought they had. Moses met with them, and like I said, some disagree with how I'm preaching this. I read after one fellow that he thought that what they'd done was appropriate. The way they approached Moses was diplomatic, and they thought it was appropriate that they got to stay on the other side, because and a very well known commentator, by the way, that I won't mention his name right now, other than Matthew Henry. But anyway,
go ahead, brother.
I was a little surprised by that stand. Maybe I misread him. I'll go back and read him again. But what I'm saying, they were not where God wanted them. Can I tell you again? God's plan was for the nation of Israel to all be on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, in the place that he had promised Abraham, in the place he had promised Isaac, in the place he had promised Jacob, in the place that Joseph knew that they were heading to. But they were willing to stay in the wilderness. They were willing to stay over there. And Moses said, hang on a minute. Moses said, you're going to abandon us here? And they said, well, we'll build some sheep holes to put our livestock in. And we men, military age men, we'll go ahead and go in and help fight the battles. And by the way, they kept their word in that.
That's right.
They did keep their word now, but where was their family?
Right, brother.
Their family was still on the wrong side of Jordan.
God help.
And you can find the rest of the story in Joshua chapter 22. And in Joshua chapter 22, after you go through the book of Joshua and they had defeated the enemies and there was peace in the land, what did they do? The men of Gad and the men of Reuben and that half tribe of Manasseh, they headed back to go across the Jordan River. My wife and I were studying that this week, and I said, I don't know how they got back across. God stayed back the Jordan for them to come through as a multitude. How did they get back across? I guess they had to wade or swim. I don't know. But they headed back. But according to Joshua 22, just before they crossed back over, if you remember when the children of Israel were coming out of the wilderness to go into Jordan, then when the priests carrying the ark, when their feet touched the Jordan River, that's when the Jordan River, it just started to back up and they came through. Amen. Hey, God stayed the Jordan and let them come through. But what did Joshua tell them to do? He said for 12 men, to get 12 stones, and they put 12 in the bottom of the river, and they picked 12 up out of the river, and they carried them to the other side and set them up as a memorial. And they said in the future time that those will see this and they'll say, what mean these stones? When these 2.5 tribes headed back to go over on the other side of Jordan, they built an altar, a huge monument out of stone. Now watch this carefully. When word got back to the 9.5 tribes, they assumed that they were going to offer offering to some unknown God. They said, is it going to be like Beth Peor, that's where Balaam had brought a curse on them? Or they said, is it going to be like what Achan brought on us because of this? And they set out and they were going to go down and wipe out their brethren for what they'd done.
That's right.
It caused a misunderstanding. Now, thank God, there was a man by the name of Phinehas that he, if you will, had a treaty, a peace council. And ask them, why did you do this? You know what they said? They said, because I'm paraphrasing here, but they said, we realized there'd come a time because we're over here on the outside and you're in there. We realized there'd come a time that your children would look at our children and said, you're not one of us. And they said, in order that your children would know our children are part of Israel, we built this memorial, and at that point everything was okay. But what I'm saying is, they put their family in danger, they left their family in a vulnerable position, and they themselves almost got wiped out because of a misunderstanding. They'd have been better off to do what? To go across the Jordan with the rest of them. Amen.
That's right.
Let me ask us. Are we where God wants us? I'm talking about as far as our life spiritually. I'm talking about our growth for the Lord. Can I tell you, you can always move up. Brother Kevin here is just a young man. You're a lot younger than me, brother. When I was his age, I thought, boy, when I get older, this thing could get easier. I thought, when I get older, maybe know a little bit more about this book, this thing could get easier. I thought, some of the struggles as a young preacher, I thought, when I get older, this thing could get easier. Can I tell you, I need God more now than I ever have? Can I tell you, more than I ever could ever say it, I could not make it without Him.
Right.
You see, if we're not careful, after we've been at it for a while, we can get where we think we can mail it in.
Go ahead, brother.
I mean, you can be a preacher and have that attitude. You can be a Sunday school teacher and have that attitude. Yes. You can be a singer and not pray about what you're going to say. Can I tell you, we can get what we can. Maybe we got enough talent to go through the motion and say, well, God will bless it. Can I tell you, you need God more than you ever did.
Yeah.
Don't stop short of what God's got for you.
Yeah.
I don't know why God wanted me to preach this here. I know why God wanted me to preach it at our church a couple of weeks ago, because I needed to hear it. And I'm going to say this and I'm closing. Don't ever be satisfied with less than what God's got for you. Let me share this with you. The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and that half tribe of Manasseh, they were the first to succumb to idolatry.
That's right.
And they were the first to go into captivity.
That's right. True. That's true.
When you're not as close to God as God has made it available for you to be,
yes, sir.
You're in danger.
Yes, sir.
And can I say this? God's had to show me many times that I'm vulnerable. God's had to show me many times. Preacher Freddie Melton, I heard him say this back many years ago. Freddie said, the only S on my chest stands for saved, sanctified, and soon to be delivered.
Hey.
I'm not a Superman. I need Jesus. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know your heart, but if God's speaking to your heart, maybe you've got to a certain point. Maybe you've reached a certain place and you say, well, I believe that's good enough. Everything will be all right from here. I put this much effort in. Can I tell you? If I can borrow a phrase from one of the services of our country, be all you can be for the glory of God. Be all you can be. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm saying, I heard an old preacher say this back 30 years ago. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, it's always too soon to quit. Appreciate these that's come. Anybody else needs to come? Come on up and pray.